Good morning. If you would turn to John 21, verses 15 through 17. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." As I said last week, I'm taking this month, due to the nature of the month, to study the word love. And we talked about the different types of love last week. And in English, this seems a little bit redundant of a questioning series. But in Greek, they're actually using different words here. In the Greek, Jesus asks the first two times, "Do you agape me?" And Simon Peter responds, "I phileo you." Which, if you remember, agape is the unconditional, no strings attached love, as the love from God is to us. And phileo is the friendship love, the love that you have with those close to you that you have built a relationship with. And so the first two times Jesus is asking, "Do you have this unconditional love for me?" And Simon responds, "You know that I love you. We have a very strong relationship that we have built." The third time, however, the one that upsets Peter, when Jesus asks the third time, Jesus asks, "Do you phileo me?" And Simon responds, "Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you." And so, him being upset, yes, he could be annoyed that he's being asked the same question three times, but the more likely thing that upset him was the downgrade of the question, so to speak, that Jesus has asked based on his answering previous. And so that, when we discussed the agape portion, we said that that unconditional love is often hard for us to grasp and even harder for us to practice. We're not the only ones that have difficulty with that. Even the apostles had difficulty with that concept. And not just with one another, but with Jesus himself. And so that is something that we can take heart in that we are not alone in our struggles to show God's unconditional love to the world. But in this passage, we're also shown how to show that love, at least in part. Because Jesus asks, "Do you agape me?" And then gives an instruction on how to show agape. He said, "Feed my sheep." Now, that could in part be physical, but it's most likely speaking of a spiritual feeding, a making sure that the spiritual and emotional, but mostly spiritual, needs of the congregation and those that Peter will be teaching and leading once Jesus is gone are taken care of. That he's setting up to make sure that his teachings continue after his death, because this is approaching the crucifixion and right after the Last Supper. So and it's after the crucifixion itself and their return. So making sure that the continuance of God's love being shown requires an action. It requires active maintenance, as tending a flock of sheep does, or tending most any animal does. They need to be fed. They need to be cared for. They need to be nurtured. We need to be fed. We need to be cared for. And we need to be nurtured. And we do that for one another. It's things like remembering to check on people, things like praying for them and letting them know that you are praying for them. Because prayer is a remarkably powerful thing, but knowing that someone is praying for you is also a powerful thing outside of the prayers being said. Knowing that someone cares enough to petition God on your behalf is vitally important for our well-being. And so when you choose to pray for someone, from time to time, let them know that you are doing that and ask them if there's anything specific that they may want prayers for. Feed your children. Feed the lambs. Study with people. Studying on your own is good and important, but studying with people is also important. Like what we do here in this group setting is more structured, but you can also just go get coffee and talk about the book of Titus with a friend. It doesn't have to be super structured. It doesn't have to be formalized to help feed each other spiritually. And then also looking at the shift at the end. That is a downgrade, so to speak, shifting from the question of agape to phileo. But that doesn't mean that phileo love is not important. Because phileo, unlike agape, which is unconditional, and unlike storge, which has the structure of family and obligation of blood ties, phileo is one that you actively choose to build and choose to participate in. It's one that can be as strong or as intense as the agape, and as strong as intense as the storge, but it is one that requires more action on your part to maintain, because it is not one of the automatic ones. It is one that is relationship built and requires constant tending, which is also interesting because he has discussed tending his sheep. So Peter answering phileo to an agape question is not necessarily a fully bad thing, because he is saying that he wants to maintain a relationship. He wants to build a relationship in that. But it is both easier and harder because of that. It means that the phileo type love can fall away quicker than the others because you neglect it. And it can be slower to build because it takes action. But that doesn't mean it's bad. It just means you need to be aware. And so the thing that I wanted to focus on today with this is just there are many things that we can do to build relationship with each other. Like I said, prayer is a major one, at least for me. But so too is just, you know, calling or texting or emailing or sending carrier pigeon or whatever you wish to communicate with people, just to ask how they're doing, just to tell them, hey, I'm thinking about you, hope that you're doing well, to see if they have any needs, see if someone needs help in their garden or needs help going to the grocery store or needs help building something or whatever the need may be, and if it's in your capability of assisting. Showing love is an action. Love is an action. It's not a passive thing that just happens. It all takes effort. And that's true for all the different classifications of love, but the phileo is the one that takes the most tending because it is the one that is probably the most fragile. But all of us know how powerful it can be because we all have that best friend that is willing to drop everything at the, or stop everything at the drop of the hat and come help when there's need, or is willing to help you bury the bodies in the backyard if something goes awry. That type of love is true and is real and is important for us to foster amongst each other. And so, at this time, are there any comments that anyone has thought of from this passage or any of my statements? Yes, much like faith, which requires action, it starts with a feeling, but that's the beginning, not the totality.
Well, for it to be recognized or noticed or seen or felt, you have to do something.
Yep. Any other thoughts? Yeah. It's quite possible. I mean, there's no way for us to know until we get there and can ask him. But but
relationships, if you are close to someone in whatever way, over time, the relationship evolves.
And
not
so,
I mean, it ebbs and flows, you know.
Yes.
It isn't always in a forward direction.
But it is always changing. As most things in life are.
Now, this is the first interaction that Peter had with Jesus after his betrayal, or after he died 3 times. And he refers to him as Simon, not Peter, which is kind of a slap to him.
Yeah.
Referring to the old name, not Peter, the rock.
Yeah. And there's a lot of complexity in this passage. Like you said, he had denied him 3 times and he asked the question 3 times, so there's that callback. There's the disparity between the agape and the phileo response. And so there's that tension. There's the shift to phileo on the third round, which gives more tension. And so there's a lot of negative emotion on Peter's part in hearing this question series, which is a little bit hard to communicate with just the words themselves. But yet, he's not called down. He's given instruction to build up. He's given instruction to tend and care for people rather than being called out for. Yeah.
But, you know, and there was a teacher moment. There was a about Jesus moment.
And those pop up all the time. Every day, sometimes obvious, sometimes not. But you need to be open to them. And so, one of the tasks that I ask you for this week is I would like for you to pick three people to pray for. Pick one person in your family to pray for. Pick one person not in your family but that you are close to pray for. And then pick someone that annoys you. And that may be family, that may not be. But pick someone that your relationship is not the best with and pray for them. And pray that you can show God's love to them and that they can experience from your relationship things that can bring them closer to God. Yes. Very much so. Yes. So that's the project I want you to do for the week. Try to every day pray for those three people that you select and pray that you can build love. I want you to pick a family member. I want you to pick a non-family member that you're close with, and then someone that annoys you. Try to not have them all three be the same person. Yes. Yes, very much so. And the reason I want to do the three people is that this passage is about supplying community to God's people, being the touch point, having Peter be the touch point of caring for the church. And so there are just like in your families and in your friend circles, there's always those that are super close, those that are in the middle, and those that are on the edges. And you have to actively tend the relationships to maintain them. And so I'm asking for you to pray so that you can tend to your relationship with those three people. And praying as well for yourself that you are able to show God's love to those three people. And in so doing, you help to build and foster and strengthen community in just very small ways, because it, you know, takes 30 seconds, a minute and a half to say a short prayer of this type for someone. But if you're actively doing it, it ingrains in you the concept of paying attention and caring for others, which is what love is. And so, once again, I seem to run about 5-10 minutes shorter than I should. Yeah. And so, if there's any other statements for things at the moment.
She still knows that it's sincere. And same with Debbie, you know, she says, I feel that power of prayer. I feel that love. And some people just say thank you, and I don't know whether they don't know what else to say or
it. Sometimes it's that. Sometimes, and sometimes at the moment they don't have anything that they can say.
True.
And then later they will. And it doesn't matter if you get any response at all.
True.
From it.
You know, Peter, Christ knew that he was going to deny him before this time. And I think Peter tried hard to do what was right, but he didn't understand. You know, none of the apostles really understood all of this process. It was, I don't think any of us would either have understood all of that. Christ knew, you know, that he was going to deny him, and then afterwards, you know, they came back and followed Christ, but Christ telling him, feed my sheep, tend to my sheep, I think he was a direction and guidance from God to teach Peter more.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, Jordan Shipley's family had said something, and it came from the family. I know it did on Facebook. We are shocked at all of these prayer warriors that
Anything else? Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, we come to you in prayer. We ask that we too will know how to feed your sheep, that we too will know how to care for your sheep, that we will know how to care for one another and show your love to each other and to the world. Please be with us this week. Strengthen us. Show us your paths and show us your will. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.